Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
Is there anything anybody loves more than agreeing with Tauscher?
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
I got a hunch this isn't going to be concise either.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
I would say that you are pretty easygoing. You're actually probably more easygoing than I am.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Well, there's no... You're not easygoing at all.
Hey!
On 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.
Review edition, because it's New Year's Eve. Are we making resolutions? Because every year I resolve to get in better shape, and as you can see, I don't really keep that edition. And I got a message yesterday from a fan of the show that made me reconsider how we have viewed this season when it comes to the Green Bay Packers edition of Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course, everything you need on WisconsinOnDemand.com. And the Wisconsin On Demand app. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Good to be home in the Wilde family basement studios. Jesse Nelson is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios. And from an undisclosed, but not unknown, sources telling me where he is. In the far back corner of his hotel room, he is the Packers Hall of Famer. He is Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. Can you tell us where you are, or is it a top secret mission?
It's undisclosed till I get home. How do you rate this fit as far as camera set?
So how do I rate it? I rate it. As
it's better than yesterday.
Well, we can see your entire face. That's a plus.
But is it? Because here's the question that I think we need to ponder.
So, in fairness, but Jason, before you say anything here,
Old
girl set this up, not old T. This is old girl setup. So just so I know you're scared of her, just want to let you know
this wasn't my setup. I'm a little scared of Becca. I'm not scared of Sarah. I just always want to be on her good side because I love Sarah. She's great.
That means you're scared. But
The question that I have is that has it become a bit of a thing to find creative ways to have you on camera but have it be, dare I say, non-traditional angles ever since you spent 3 months in wine country and you had those different angles then?
No. I wish I could say that it's like a shtick. I'm trying to do my best with what I got. I'm not
I'm see
I'm not an
One of the dwellers was asking if you were purposely trolling the fans yesterday by just slightly being out of the camera frame for every segment of the show.
No, I was not. I wish I was that creative and clever because I would do that. That would be something I'd like to do, but I'm not great at this. I think we've made great steps in our digital game over the last year, since it's a year in review type of show. There's still some room to grow. There's no doubt about that.
John in the YouTube comments, hashtag Mini Tausch is back.
Well, that's better than Maxi Tausch.
Well, we're happy to have you wherever you may be, and we're happy to have the ability to at least see your face in our very large window. Is that a Pella window behind you? Because the window for your video is very large, and then you are itsy-bitsy tiny Tausch in the bottom corner.
If it's not, it needs to be. I know where we're at, the doors. I know I'm going to get Gina. I'm going to send Gina some pictures and make sure she knows plenty of work to be done down here.
And the bathrooms, too, so you'll be reaching out to Kohler. So you're always helping these hotels.
I want to make sure everybody is up to speed like the Wilde and Tausch crew is.
Well, let's get up to speed on where things stand with the Packers. And obviously, yesterday, Matt LaFleur once again asked about Jair Alexander. We'll talk about that. We got a little tiny, itsy bitsy, like a little Tausch, a little information about swelling in his knee. And Matt LaFleur essentially saying, without flat out saying, it's Jair Alexander who's deciding whether or not he's playing or not. In fact, let's not, I really wanted to get to changing my perspective on this team, but we'll get to that a little bit later. Let's not bury the lead. Here is Matt LaFleur yesterday. I believe Rob Domofsky was the one who asked the question about whether there's a difference of opinion between what the team thinks.
Do you guys like draw straws for who asks about Jair each day? And like Rob's like, shoot, it's me today. And
not officially, but we have found that Bill Huber has been the first guy through the wall more frequently than not. And he, as they say in Moneyball, the first one through the wall gets bloodied.
Is he your sacrificial lamb?
No, I think, he chooses. He likes being the leadoff hitter. He is our Paul Molitor or Ricky Henderson, R.I.P.
R.I.P.
He's not quite as... His batting average is not quite as high as Ricky's or Paulie's, but he tries really hard, and sometimes it doesn't go great. Yesterday, he did ask the lead question about Jair, and then Rob followed up. Here is how Matt LaFleur handled that.
Do you think there's any chance you'll have Jair at all the rest of the season?
Yeah, I don't know. As soon as I know, I'll let you guys know.
That's not true. He won't let you know right away.
Like a difference of opinion between what he thinks his health is and what you guys think it is?
Yeah, I can't really get into all that. I do know that he's been dealing with swelling, and, you know, he doesn't feel right to go out there and play.
Bum, bum, bum! Tausch, he's been dealing with swelling, and he doesn't feel right to go out there and play. Your interpretation of how that was answered.
I think Matt LaFleur and some folks within the coaching staff probably feel like he should be out there playing. But I, as a former player, I'm always going to look at it from that perspective. And here's the deal, guys. We judge guys, and I've said this numerous times, I respect when guys fight through and get out there and play. But then if you don't finish the game or you don't play well, you're going to be judged on if you're playing at full health. That is the reality of football. The coaches know. And if your 80% is better than the guy behind you's 100%, does that make it that you need to go out there and play? I think Jair obviously is a competitor and wants to play, but I think he's also been through enough now. These injuries will mess with you mentally. You constantly have to battle through and figure out how you can get out there and play. And as you get older, and maybe you're not, you don't have that, you've been scarred a little bit. I just feel like Jair is at that point in his career where he thinks if he can't be who he wants to be out on the field, he's not going to go play. And it's easy for all of us to say, well, there's a little swelling. Oh, well, you got to fight through some of this stuff. It's the playoffs, baby. It's this, it's this. And it's very easy to say that. It's another thing to actually have to go out there and then you have to cover Justin Jefferson, knowing I can't do everything I want and I'm going to maybe not even be helping the team. So there's just a lot that goes into this equation. It's not as simple as saying, well, Doc saw the scan. It looks good. He's able to practice. He's able to do this. So from Jair's mindset, I understand where he's coming from. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of times, you know, I said a couple weeks ago, this reminds me a lot of the D-Box situation where I think coaches and you know, front office folks just have an idea of if you can go, you go. And especially guys that are high paid. And I think the players now are looking at it more from the perspective, it's more business, but it's also more, I don't trust that if you, they always say this, you know your body best. Mm-hmm. Trainers will tell you that, coaches will say, and if a player isn't 100% confident, that means they're not going to go, because players will always push that envelope the other way. Yep, I can do it. Yep, I can go. And coaches will take that and say, yes, let's do it, until you only take 10 snaps and somebody that's super healthy is sitting there in street clothes that could have been out there playing when you're three snaps in and you're sitting there icing your knee down. That's what's happened here, in my opinion. And I think now there's no trust. And the trust is not on either side. Mm-hmm. And like in any relationship, partnership, if you don't have that, then everything is looked at from a different perspective and none of it's good. And I would be surprised if Jair plays again this season.
I guess this was better than nothing. Right? At least we got a little bit of information. And I was talking to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Well, actually, just Gabe and Chewy. Jen wasn't on today. Excuse me.
Choked up.
I get very emotional when I talk about Jair Alexander. And Gabe made the point that it might be unfair to compare the Bakhtiari situation with Jair's because, A, the knee injuries aren't the same. And B, eventually, David Bakhtiari stood at his locker for 45 minutes and detailed every single tiny little piece of his knee saga, right? Gave us all kinds of medical terms and the whole deal. And Jair hasn't done that. And my point to Gabe was, and I think this was your point a second ago, is that the way it's being talked about or not talked about is in the same way.
Oh,
right.
No
there is a
it.
Underbubbling of frustration and irritation. And I thought Rob did an outstanding job of asking the question as, is there a difference of opinion? I thought that was a really smart choice of phrase there because it got LaFleur to basically, from what I gathered, kind of admit that there is, right?
Yeah.
Like, yep. He admitted it without really saying, yeah, there's a difference of opinion. And so this is the kind of stuff that I am curious because when Keyshawn Nixon has talked about this or when Xavier McKinney has talked about this, they have both said, well, he's hurt. There's nothing he can do. Okay? Yep. Those guys have his back on this. But is that out of loyalty or is that out of a belief that he legitimately cannot play? Or what is that? Because you know as well as I do, and the former quarterback was among them, there are guys that are old school that don't think in terms of, hey, I'm not going out there if I'm not 100%. You know, the Devondre Campbell, I'm not playing through injury anymore. There are guys on the other side that are like, get your ass out there. We need you. Play through it. Tough it out. And I know there were times when Rodgers was frustrated with certain players, including Za'Darius Smith in 21, about them not playing hurt.
So how in the locker room is it universal that all guys are supportive? Is it a different era? Or do you think that there are some guys that privately are going, man, we really need him. I don't understand why he's not playing through this and not even giving it a shot again.
Yeah, it's a different era. It's a different era of football. And I think as the money gets bigger and the scrutiny, as I've told you, the scrutiny now is crazy. Like the amount of scrutiny on NFL players is, I am so glad my career ended when it did. It was just getting into it. It adds so much more to being an NFL football player. So players are going to have players' backs on this. They should, because really nobody else does.
Right.
And as a group, you need to understand. And guys know the difference if it's something that players feel like they can play through. Publicly, you never talk about other guys' injuries anyways. So that's
right.
It's contracts and that you steer clear of. You talk about yourself and you talk about the team. There's no doubt. I'm sure there's some guys in that locker room that are saying, man, if Jair would have been out there, maybe, maybe Sailor Naylor doesn't get open on that. There's always going to be
Sailor Naylor.
There's always going to be those things that get in play. But by and large, I think the locker room is going to support their teammates, because it's not as if everybody thinks Jair just doesn't want to play. If Jair was healthy, he'd be out there playing. Mm-hmm. It's, is he healthy enough to play? And when you start going down that game, I think you better really be careful if you're going to be a critic. You better have all your T's crossed and I's dotted, because that is a dangerous game that I know as a analyst I'm not going to play.
Mm-hmm.
All I'm going to do is look at the scenario, listen to what is being said, and what it makes me think is there is a lack of trust amongst the parties involved to feel like there's going to be any real movement on this until Jair is sprinting full speed and feeling awesome. And I don't know if that's going to happen this late in the season.
Well, the Packers closed the regular season on Sunday at noon against the Bears.
No, Jesse told me they're playing Saturday. It was flexed.
Yeah, I was hoping Jesse would be right about that.
I'm glad he wasn't.
Why we're all hoping on, Jesse
why
would be
we,
right.
Why would we want a Saturday night game?
You love Saturday games. That's like you're always advocating for a Saturday game.
Yeah,
games
other
the best.
Teams.
You get a day to recover. Ooh. You get to go up. It's still a weekend. It's great.
I don't know if I appreciate your impression of me, Jesse.
You should have heard the Coors read after you
left.
Wait,
yeah, here, let me do. You get to play on Saturday.
I don't fully comprehend that. It's pretty good.
Far away from there.
I know. I mean, sometimes yes. I don't know when we want to get into this, but this idea of the NFL needing an 18th game, we need to nip that now, because we don't need 17 weeks, 18 weeks. What are we doing?
Wait, does someone think we need one other than the NFL to make more money?
No, it's going to happen. My point is, it shouldn't, and we should all be sitting here as fans saying, all right, as you know, it'd be great. I would love for you, as a leader in that press community,
oh boy,
to just say, you know what, guys, we've been sitting here. We missed the boat when it came to concussions. You've been very adamant that you were ridiculous in '96.
Yeah.
So, as a group, what I would love for you all to do is to sacrifice a little too and say, all right, when the NFL does Week 18, we're not going to cover it. We're going to go blank. Because it's ridiculous. I want you, as a press group, get all your buddies together, Florio and the whole crew, and say, nobody's covering it. We're not doing it.
Get all your buddies together, and the first one you go with is Florio.
I'm going to say something kind of ridiculous here, and I don't know if I'm going to hold myself to this.
Never happens on this show.
If and when the NFL goes to the 18th week.
I'm going to take the week off.
We are not going to do a show on this airways. With Wilde and Tausch. Now, if the powers that be think Rutledge and Hamilton and somebody else is going to step in, I can't control that. But as a group, and Jesse, if we're all three together still, and this will happen in probably 3 or 4 years, we're not doing it. This is the one thing I feel really confident Jesse will side with me on. Jesse, we're taking a week, okay?
What do you want to take, the final week or just a random week at some point in the season when you want to plan a vacation to be like, that's our week that we're not doing it?
It's got to be week 18. And even if a scenario like what's happening with Minnesota and Detroit happens, which could be, we're taking a week.
This just sounds like a weaselly way to get some time off.
No, trust me, that's not it. I just think at some point somebody has to say, we've had enough. We don't need any more. This is good.
So, are we all on board? I'm all on board with civil disobedience.
Well, it has to affect you too.
Yeah, it has to just be everybody else.
You know what I mean?
Issue with your grand plan, which very rarely do I react the way I am now and then not come around, but I'm not coming around on this because the level of engagement we would have to get from the rest of the media industrial complex.
Yeah.
And fans, right? Don't we need fans not to go to the games for this to work? Don't we need TV partners to say, no, we're good. We don't need an 18th game to air on our airwaves. Don't we need advertisers to say, no, we'll put our money into WNBA games instead? You would know about starting small, given the video angle that we have of you. Look, I admire and I agree with you in principle. I don't think, especially if it's like the Packers next season are going into, or whenever we start with 18 games, going into week 19, mm-hmm. needing to win to get the number one seed, and you've spent all season in 2026 saying it's the most important number one seed in football history now that there's 18 games and whatever else. I don't know if we're serving our fans by saying we're boycotting this week. And I don't know if Roger Goodell is going to give two blanks about some piddly radio show in Wisconsin saying, I'm not doing a show this
week.
We'll get
Waddle and Sylvie to join us. We'll see if we can't get Hammer.
Well, the Bears will have nothing to play for. And neither will the Browns.
All right. Well, we'll table this. I want to keep this top of mind as we look forward because it is going to happen. We'll see if we can get Evan Cohen to jump on. Unsportsmanlike, he'll take off.
There's no way. There's no way.
He works holidays. There's no way he's going to take off the final week of the NFL season.
I don't know. I've been watching. I haven't seen him on for 2 weeks.
He'll be on our program. He'll be on our program coming up here shortly. After Tausch tells us for the final time in 2024.
I think we have two Pella reads today. So
except for that one extra time.
Except for that one time. Ensure your home remains comfortable before we reach those brutal post-holiday winters. Yeah, Santa Claus, he's a magical fellow, did a great job. I think everybody can admit, Santa was fantastic. His elves, they can't build what Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin does. There's too many options, too many customizations. You need the pros from Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. So instead of going through the big red fella, go to the great people at Pella. Get as low as $19 per window, $81 per patio door per month. Certain restrictions do apply. The offer ends today. Visit PellaWI.com to learn more.
I heard the full 60-second version of that with the voice actors and Gina in it. Yeah. And apparently Santa's elves work for other window companies because it's easier to make their crappy windows.
What?
I thought it was a bad look for the elves previously. The full story, woo, it's going to be a 30 for 30.
We've toned it down a little bit.
Those elves have taken a beating this month.
They've had a tough year. No wonder Hermie decided to become a dentist. So I want to get to something else that really jumped out yesterday. We won't do it next because we got to get to Evan Cohen coming up. But we need to talk about low blocks and low tackles and whether or not a strike zone is coming to the NFL.
Why don't we just start going flag football? Just put flags on these guys.
We will get to that later.
I can't walk as I'm a 47-year-old, so maybe we should have done this years ago.
Maybe we should have. And you'd be dominating the pickleball circuit.
Maybe if we had a press corps that would have stood up for the player safety
Nelly!
Back in the 80s and 90s, maybe we would have had this no blocking before. But maybe not.
It's all my fault. More Wilde and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Hold on, I don't want to know what it's like when you're gone. I don't want to move on. I don't want to know what it's like when you're gone for good. You're slipping through my fingertips.
get to Evan Cohen of Unsportsmanlike. So, Tausch, take this opportunity, because we don't do this often, not to tell people necessarily what to do, but what you would recommend for a Packers fan to feel about Jair based on the conversation we just had. Like, if I said, Tausch, I'm frustrated with this guy, man. You know, they paid him $84 million. He missed 10 games last year. He's missed 9 games already this year, with a 10th one coming most likely on Sunday, not on Saturday, which would have been better since Sydney has a basketball tournament on Sunday. What are you telling Packers fans how they should treat this as fans?
Respectfully. You have respect for it. You can be disappointed and frustrated. But I think all of us know that if Jair was healthy, he's a competitor. He wants to be out there. Now, it's another thing if you see what Devondre Campbell did or others, then have at it. Do what you want. But from this perspective, bless me.
Gesundheit, ja, very good.
From that perspective, no. I don't think there's a ton of things that you can do or say outside of, man, it would be great for him to be back. It would be, you know, best for the team if he was healthy, but he's just not. And you can always look at things from the nefarious side if you want.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not going to in this perspective. And as far as the money and everything else goes, that's just the price of doing business in the NFL. Jair earned that contract. And if he was making the league minimum, I don't think people would be nearly as upset. That's, I think, always kind of the spearhead of why fans' frustration level gets higher, is because the bigger the investment, the bigger output you're looking for. And when that doesn't come, it's like if you get an old broke down 75 pickup, you're not going to have the same expectations for that as if you get a Lamborghini. If the pickup breaks down, you're kind of like, oh, you know, I didn't pay much for it. Not a big deal. Lamborghini's up running and that ain't running. You're like, God dang, I just spent all this money on it. I can't even take it for a Sunday drive. That's where I think it's just, you know what? It is what it is. It's disappointing. But as far as any vitriol, I would tell people, let's temper that.
Are you the 75 pickup? Because I know you ain't the Lamborghini.
I'm definitely not a Lamborghini. There has never been a doubt about that.
If you've been injured, maybe not in a game in Jacksonville, but more likely in an accident, there's only one call to make. Grubel offices. One call, that's all. 414-276-6666. 414-276-6666. I know you don't want to have to make that call. I hope you never have to make that call. But if you do, you want the best in the business on your side, and that's what Gruber Law Offices is. Also, go to the website, gruber-law.com. Find out more about the firm, all the great lawyers that are there, and everything that David and his team do in our communities. Gruber Law Offices, one call. That's all. We'll place a call to Evan Cohen of Unsportsmanlike and talk to him next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Wilde and Tausch is brought to you by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Tito's makes the good stuff for good times. Find recipes, videos, and more at titosvodka.com. I'm throwing caution. What's it gonna be? Tonight the winds of change are blowing wild and free. If I don't get out of this town, I just might be the one who finally burns it down. I'm throwing caution.
Time now. I just called him in my tweet. Host of Unsportsmanlike and quarterbacking legend. Time now for Evan Cohen. Evan, good morning. How are you?
What an honor, Jason. How are you guys?
I have a question for you before we get started and before you and old boy get after each other. So I'm watching
Sunday night. New year. Hey, no fighting. It's a new year.
But wait, it's still the old year.
It's not the new year yet, Tausch.
And we'll probably fight.
So I'm finishing up writing in the press box at U.S. Bank Stadium, and I've got the Commanders and Falcons on the TV by where I'm sitting, and I'm watching Dan Quinn on the sidelines. And are we too old to turn our hats backwards? Because I've turned mine.
I wore a backwards hat yesterday.
You did?
I wore a backwards hat yesterday. Yeah. I don't normally do it. So I was in Florida, and I'm back in New York now, and my hair was getting very gray, and I got TV tomorrow.
I got to get it painted.
No deal.
Yeah.
So, yeah. No so big deal. It was like a little too. So I did. I had my wife help me out with this, did the Just for Men, and I was like, oh, God, it's a little too much. So let me just do the backwards hat for a day, kind of let it sink in, and then when I get back here to New York, it'll be good to go. It wasn't like a let me by design do this. It was I was running and playing tennis and doing what I normally do.
Mm, very active.
You.
Total yeah. country oh, my clubber, God. Huh?
What a country clubber. Wow.
Oh, okay. All
right. I got done with croquet, and then I went did my polo match, and then I flew back to my community up to Westchester.
You know, I couldn't get into my house last night. I got locked out of my house.
I heard about that. Yeah, I saw that.
Well, that's I'm not kidding.
You get security. How does that happen?
Okay. There's a lot of stories. Jason, you did your job. We got about 10 angles here. Tausch and I will take it from there. Okay. So, all right. I get back last night, and all of a sudden, and it's just me because I had to come back early again for TV. No big deal. First take tomorrow, 10 a.m. ESPN 2. Or 9 a.m. your time. Sorry. Anyway, so I get back. My family's not there. Just me. And I open the garage, and normally we leave the door inside the garage unlocked with the alarm on, right? I feel like that's the regular move for a lot of people that have a house with a garage and an alarm. And all of a sudden, I'm twisting, and I'm like, what the heck? It's locked. I go to any other entrance I possibly could get in, windows, doors, sliding door, whatever it is. Everything is locked. I am now a mess. I go to where I thought I kept the key outside, which I no longer do. I open up this area, and a mouse runs at me. I'm like, oh, this is just wonderful. So now I'm freaking out. It's almost midnight. We call one person that we think has a key. She can't find it. Finally, you know, right at that midnight, around there, we realize my neighbors have the key. They couldn't find it. They found it ultimately. And already this morning, I have had 6 additional keys made. Now, this is key to the key situation.
Key.
I tried to come up with unique keychains so they know it's us. So I found these little red guitars that have the keys on them now. So this has been my morning. I was supposedly off from unsportsmanlike this morning, and all I've been doing is getting keys in hidden key areas all over my property. So there you go.
Well, it's appropriate that you got a rock star key chain, right? Because you're on TV, no big deal.
Wow, yeah. Well done. And it all comes back to the backwards hat.
Thanks.
It all comes back to the backwards hat, Jason, because we wouldn't have gotten here without that backwards hat.
I'm glad I could contribute. I could see Tausch's lips moving there, but I didn't hear anything he said. Have we lost
dream
you?
Come true. It's a dream come true.
See, yeah, I guess, Jesse, what's happening?
We don't have his volume. He's gone. I don't know.
Excellent. All right, Jason, let's keep going here.
He can give us hand signals on the video stream if he wants to, and we could relay his questions.
As Tausch might say, this would be malfeasance. It's almost as if there's been some sabotage that's gone on with him. Well, Evan, you and I don't usually get to talk during this segment. So since you'll be hosting First Take or appearing on it as a debater, what exactly you got going on tomorrow?
No, I'm filling in the Molly role. So I'm in the the host role.
Okay. Do you get to have opinions in that role? Because I know you have a lot of them.
Yeah, I'm not sure. It's funny. I was just talking to my dad about that. And I'm not exactly sure. I've never done this before. So I'm very much looking forward to it. And it's an amazing opportunity. And it obviously is a great thing that our show has graduated to a point of, like, you know, they use Canty a ton. They're using me now, well, at least for this one day. And Michelle has done college football stuff. Like, this is, it's exciting for our show, and we appreciate, like, Wisconsin's been amazing us on ESPN Wisconsin, 5A to 9A or 5A to 7A, depending on which station you're listening. And it's cool growth for our show, in all seriousness.
Yeah, congratulations.
But I don't know the answer to that question. Thank you.
So, because you have the national perspective, and because Tausch can't talk right now, which is really amazing.
That's great.
I'm wondering now, because I feel like we have been too close to this Packers team all year long. We have probably been more critical of their shortcomings at times than you would be otherwise because you're so focused on them. And then I feel like maybe we've thought they were better than they were at times because we're so focused on them. Now that they have lost twice to the Vikings, twice to the Lions, once to the Eagles, they're in position here where they're most likely going to be going to Philadelphia as the number 7 seed to face the number 2 seeded Eagles on opening weekend of the playoffs. Tausch still hasn't given up the ghost of this team being good and it can, you know, win a game. Whether or not it can get all the way to the Super Bowl, who knows? But have we just overvalued in Wisconsin how good this team is? And does the national perspective bring them back down to earth?
It's funny, Jason. I kind of think, in many ways, the national perspective has been similar to the local perspective. Because I feel like, at least on our show, I mean, Michelle is a Packers fan, and Canty's a huge Jordan Love fan, that I just feel like we've kind of had this, just wait, they'll be fine, just wait, when late in the season, playoff time rolls around, almost as if they've had this, like, really lengthy history of just turning it on, you know, late in the season. Like, it was 1 year. Right, and I thought they would do it too. And now, if you're a Packers fan, you are very concerned as to what this year was, because when it was rocky early on, rocky, I mean, for their standards, right? Like, you kind of sat back and you're like, they'll be fine, they'll be fine. But what if they're not fine? What if it is one and done? There's an argument that the Eagles are playing better than anybody in the NFL right now. Obviously, Jalen Hurts is not playing. That's a different story, as we know. But the hypothetical that you just pointed out of one and done on the road at Philly in the first round, what happens then, Jason? You tell me. Because you're not going to fire the coach, and you're not going to, I don't think, and you're not going to get rid of the quarterback, obviously. Like, what then happens?
Yeah, nothing, because here's what I felt going into the season. And look, they may win in Philly, and I'll have to say I was wrong. They're going to end up reaching the same point that they reached last year. But I thought they would be a better team and have a better record, but potentially not go as far in the playoffs because of a variety of things, including the fact that they played an outstanding game in Dallas last year in a game against a team that hadn't lost all year at home, and they did something pretty darn impressive in that game. You don't always manage to do that in a win-or-go-home game. And so I've been saying all along that they were a year away. I still believe that. But there were times during this year that I thought, maybe my timeline is off. Maybe they're going to arrive a year early. I feel better about where I thought they were. But look, they're going to finish 3 wins better than a year ago and still be the 7th seed, which is crazy to think about. To be 12-5 and be stuck in that same spot.
That's a very interesting point, because now, as I literally just, unbeknownst to me, spun my hat backwards for no apparent reason that I'm wearing.
Welcome
right
to the
now.
Team.
Anyway, yeah, seriously. So you bring up an interesting point. Is it in some ways a fluky year in the NFC North? And do the Packers, and I don't know that the answer is yes on this, but do they have more long-term sustainability than the other two teams we're talking about in the NFC North? Because I don't want to say last year was the window, because that's ridiculous, but I don't think Detroit's going to get much worse moving forward. I think they're going to be pretty good. Minnesota, I think, is going to be excellent moving forward. Maybe I'm wrong on that. And you have to assume that Chicago, just by default, is going to get better. I don't want to do this, but I can tell you right now, a February conversation for Wilde and Tausch, if they get bounced in the first round, or maybe a January conversation, if they get bounced in the first round, is going to be, did they reach the deepest into the postseason with Love and LaFleur a year ago that they will reach?
I don't think anybody's going to look at it that way, because you're just getting started.
Oh, no, he's back.
He's back,
yeah,
baby.
Yeah, I'm back, baby. I'm back, baby, and I'm better than ever, as your idol used to always say, or maybe still says. I don't understand how you could look at this and say Minnesota's going to be – Minnesota don't even know what they're going to do.
They have a rookie quarterback that they're probably going to play. Are they going to pay Sam Darnold big boy money?
I don't know.
I think they're in a great spot. I think they're in an unbelievable spot. Because if you look at
Detroit's
Minnesota.
Detroit's in a good spot. I don't think Minnesota is.
Detroit without Ben Johnson?
Okay.
Well, I thought they did something interesting. And maybe I'm wrong about this. But I thought Detroit did something very interesting that makes you realize how smart they are as an organization now. I think bringing in Teddy Bridgewater as a backup quarterback after a year of coaching high school football was very smart, because I think they're probably assuming that not only is Ben Johnson gone, he'll bring a couple of those guys with them, whether it's Brunell or Antoine Randall or JT Barrett, and they've already kind of replaced the spot on the coaching staff, which is what the Packers have done for years, right, with the depth on the coaching staff. It's very interesting. If you look at that division right now, the two best teams have a lot of Packers in them. What do I mean? Historically, Detroit, with the amount of coaches that you could see going on and doing other big things, like when Holmgren and Andy Reid and Gruden and Mariucci and all these guys were there, right? And Minnesota with the QB in waiting. It's very Packers-like, the other two teams in that division.
Well, Detroit doesn't have a QB in waiting, do they?
I said Minnesota with the QB in waiting.
Well, I get what you're saying. So, I mean,
dismissive at that point? That was a terrible job by you being dismissive at that. You don't think J.J. McCarthy is sitting there as a QB in waiting?
He wasn't sure his microphone was on.
I don't know.
I don't understand. Jesse, turn his microphone off. Jason, was that a fair point I just made about Detroit and Minnesota?
Yeah, I think Tausch got – I don't want to speak for Tausch, but I think he combined the two comps and required both pieces for both teams. You were talking about the coaching staff for one and the quarterback in waiting for the other, which were the two Packers-esque qualities that the two organizations had.
Put on a backwards hat, Mark, and you'll understand it, maybe. Right. Just saying.
Okay, don't call me Mark. Evan, how often – You just took a two-week break.
Yeah,
how often
right.
did you talk to Smalls and to Canty over that break?
I didn't take a two-week break. What are you talking about?
I love how triggered this gets, Evan. All right, you took a four-day break. How much time do you discuss over the holidays with your co-host?
We're on the group chat, which has been active the entire time.
Okay.
That's been active, and then Smalls and I were texting last night.
Okay. What were you guys texting?
What?
No, go ahead.
You asked the question. What do you mean, go ahead? I didn't hear your question.
Well, you kept talking. I'm not going to interrupt you. Finish.
Well, why am I on if you don't want – you want me to be on and not talk? That sounds like an odd guest spot.
It's like Tausch was for half the segment.
So
that's true. It's an odd hosting spot also.
What do you think when it comes to – there's going to be a lot of discussion nationally, I think even some locally, about this idea the NFC North so strong and that somebody with 14 wins is going to have to go on the road. Are you in favor of reseeding and the division just gets you in but doesn't give you a home playoff game?
Yeah, I'm okay with that. What you just said, what do you mean?
I'd like to just make sure we clarify what we're talking about. So you're okay with Detroit saying, all right, we're the 5 seed, but Tampa, you're coming to us.
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting example considering Tampa actually beat Detroit. But yes, because, like, this is where it's uneven, right? Because what's more difficult, the NFC North or the NFC South? The fact that we have two teams in the NFC North that both won 14 games is remarkable. The NFC South is obviously a little bit worse and even across the board, but not as good anywhere outside of comparing the Bears to them. But, I'm okay with that concept, because if we're going to scream and yell about that in college, why would we not be okay with that in the pros?
Well, because it's different. I mean, there's different from a standpoint, and from college is different in the fact that the SEC is the NFL. And the AAC and the ACC would be much lower tiered. That's not – I don't think they're on the same level. And I don't think – even though, obviously, this year there's a talent influx at once in one division, that is only a one-year thing. It doesn't happen every single year. Very rarely do you see, or never do you see, a division with three top-heavy teams like the NFC North has been.
So then it's too infrequent to make a ruling on it, so to speak, would be
yes.
Point.
That's what I would say, yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Well, that okay, so then that's fine. So if you want to say, if you're on the rules committee, which I know you are in your own mind, but if you're on the rules committee,
yes,
yeah, then you basically say to your peers, we see it this year. If we see it again next year, we got to start talking about this. This is something we got to put in our back pocket. Do nothing on, but be aware of it. I'm okay with that concept as well. If you're saying it's not enough, like the whole idea of having a losing record, winning your division and host a playoff game is awful. Like, I think that could be a trigger that if you have a losing record and you're in the play, like you cannot host a playoff game, but you are allowed to be in the playoffs.
Losing record. I'll join that club. If you're seven, I guess now I have to redo my math. If you're
eight and nine.
8 and 9, you don't host. 9 and 8, you get to. That's what you're saying. I'm all right with that.
Yeah,
like
assuming the team, which I think it's more likely than not that the answer to this would be yes. Like assuming the team that you would be playing would have a winning record. So like, and I know retroactively people would then say, well, then you wouldn't have that amazing moment in Seattle where they host the playoff game in March. Yeah. Like, okay, I'll get over that.
Yeah.
So how
you'll have to.
How are you going to institute both this rule and your pick your opponent rule? Can you do both, or do you have to choose between them, old boy?
You can do both. You can definitely do both.
No, see, this is where this is ridiculous. Jason, we all know his pick your opponent will never happen in a million years because he wants to deny that players are like you and I and sensitive. And so they will not have the cojones to do that. And
the players aren't the ones doing it. The coaches and the GM is.
Okay.
And they can stay standard.
But they're sensitive too.
They don't have to pick.
They're sensitive too.
Yes.
It'll never
You know what?
Happen.
So is – you know what? Everybody's sensitive. But you're now – is sports more about competition or entertainment when it comes to the dollar? What drives the dollar
entertainment
in that regard?
Wait, Tausch, hold on a second. Hold on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think everyone is sensitive. I think you're one of the least sensitive people I have ever met in my entire life. I'd love to spend a moment to dissect why. Why do you feel like you're like seems to really bother you?
I don't want to do this though. Let's do that. Then
why do
you, we're running on the clock.
We got plenty of time.
I don't want to sit here.
I don't want to sit here
and diagnose myself on air as we sit here. Can you
please
just admit that entertainment is the driver?
Hold on. So the only thing you're sensitive about is about not being sensitive?
I mean, I'm sensitive about certain stuff, but trivial things are not going to bother me. No, like an idiot because
I know, but you're triggered. You're triggered.
Care? I don't.
You're triggered by being called not sensitive, which is an amazing compliment, but that gets you very sensitive.
Oh, my God. I want you to answer a question. That's what gets me sensitive, not all this other stuff. Do you think entertainment is what drives the NFL and sports in general?
Absolutely.
So what is more entertaining than if it ends up being the Minnesota Vikings – and they have to line up with the Packers. The Packers beat Philly. And Minnesota gets to pick. They could say, we just beat Detroit 2 weeks ago. We beat Green Bay, but we think Green Bay is a better matchup. Bring Detroit back to us. You don't think that drives it? Why do you think ESPN does the college football selection show? It's because it drives interest. It gets people talking. This would do that to the 100th degree.
Nobody is arguing that. We're arguing as to whether or not it would ever happen.
What are we doing?
It will never
happen.
There's a million things.
Never's a long time. Never's a long time.
There are a million things that you could sit there and say would make this sport, any sport, more entertaining that'll never happen.
Okay. This is an easy one to do. You earn that one seed. You should be able to pick your opponent after wild card weekend. Period. End of story.
All right, cool.
Just like Oregon should have been able to pick someone to go play. They didn't want to play Ohio State right out of the gates. Oregon should have been able to go pick Boise State or whoever they wanted to play. It should have been, that should be part of this equation. And you know who would drive, you know who would love that? The casuals. Oh boy, Oregon just picked the 3 seed over the 10 seed. Oh, why? Oh, and then all of a sudden you get that banter. And then
we know the
unsportsmanlikes are looking at it and they're saying, oh, baby, this is juicy. We like this. Like, come on.
No one is arguing with you. It will just never happen. You know what, Tausch, let's play this out. This morning, I drove 20 minutes to get the keys made. I wish I could have flown. Not with a plane, just me flying. It would have saved me time. It would have been more entertaining.
On.
Why can I not fly?
Come on.
No, but, like,
Evan.
It's true.
And by the way, there are jetpacks, and I think there'll be heavy-duty drones in the near future that you will be able to go and do.
Okay.
Matter of fact, you're in Jersey.
I think it's
There's
time
drones
to go.
Flying all over the place out there.
Jetpacks.
Oh
well, there
God,
are. Go ahead, Evan. Have you seen drones flying through your Jersey neighborhood?
I don't live in New Jersey, so no.
Oh, yeah, you're in a gated community. I forgot about that. My bad.
I'm not. If I was in a gated community, it would have been a lot easier last night. I wouldn't have been locked out. They would have had the keys.
All right. I know we got to go, but last question.
Now he's worried about the clock.
I want to preface this. You are going to be an advocate for player safety in the NFL, correct? You're on board with all the player safety initiatives that have happened, making the game safer, correct?
Depends what you're asking me.
As a former quarterback.
Yeah.
As a former quarterback, you like the rules that you can't. Well, no, I just want to get you on the record before I hammer you with the question that I hammered Jason with earlier. So, yes or no, you're on the record. You think player safety is a good initiative, and it's been good for the NFL, and it's good to continue to move that ball forward, correct?
I think the players should sign up for whatever they feel like was best for them. If Tua wants to, God forbid, kill himself playing football, go for it. Not my life.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. Thanks, Evan. Then I'm not even going to bring this scenario
Tausch,
to you.
Tausch,
well, I don't
Tausch
know what
wants us Tausch wants us to
I
not
don't want
cover
you to say anything.
Tausch wants us to not cover an 18th game. He wants us to go
does
off
the
air.
NFL, 17 weeks is plenty.
Game.
Is it not? 17 weeks is plenty of football. Do we need an 18th? And if we do, I thought that it would be good for the press who is saying all the things about advocating player safety. Just say, we're not going to cover it. We're going to take that week off. Is that a crazy idea?
I think this is almost not 100% akin to, but similar to, steroids in baseball back in the day where everyone's full of crap at all times. Because you're right, theoretically. Yeah, you're right. Theoretically, the idea of caring about player safety and then constantly talking about more games is obviously backwards. For years, they've been releasing on Tuesdays target practice because of gambling, which means injury reports, right? The injury report is the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life relative to why would you release that to an opposition? Because if I know Mark Tauscher has a shoulder injury, there are things that I'm going to do differently than I would have otherwise if I'm playing defensive line. That's only been released for gambling. No one actually cares about player safety. Not the league, not the players, not the media, not the fans. Let's be honest about that. No one actually cares about it. Like, how is it that they have the guardian cap and Tua doesn't wear one? Explain that one.
Yeah. Because it's his choice, right, like you said.
It's his life.
If it's not right,
it's his life.
So if it's not mandated to wear,
yeah,
and then we don't actually care about player safety. And if it supposedly helps players, which many players do wear it, and he chooses not to wear it, then he doesn't care about player safety. And we this week are going to be talking about the final AFC wild card nationally, right? And they're one of the teams, and we're going to be talking about his hip injury and whether or not he plays. And then people call him out. Ooh. I'm just using him as an example for not playing through it,
sure.
Right? Hey, it's an elimination game. You got to play. Like, none of us actually care about it because, Tausch, people like you are willing to risk their lives long term for the unbelievable gratification short term.
Sure.
And now you're limping around the pickleball court.
So tell us more. So you're all TV the rest of the week, huh? Is that what happens?
No,
here?
We have
You're
our...
doing all TV the rest of the
week? No. Back on the show Thursday and Friday. Everybody's back Thursday and Friday.
All right. All right. We look forward to that.
Happy Hopefully... New Year, buddy.
Yeah, Happy
What's
New
so
Year,
funny about that? Happy New Year to
Dash,
my
you
good
work
buddy
tomorrow?
Evan. I work every day, baby. You know that. Sometimes it's not on air, but I will be doing a show tomorrow. I don't know if it's on air or not, but I'll be doing it.
We're happy he's working today. Evan, thanks.
You doing
we
a resolution
you.
This year? You doing a resolution? Jeez. You a resolutions guy or
Get
not?
Get a jetpack.
What?
No, here's the thing with the resolution.
That's funny.
I actually feel a level of weakness doing them, and I know that our CEO, Craig Karmazin, brought this up on a company-wide call, and I agree. Like, conceptually, like, I don't believe in holidays for the numbers. Like, I don't understand why. So it's February 14th, I have to love my wife? That makes no sense. Why can't I love her
Great
on the
question.
13th or Jason's yeah. birthday on the 15th? Why can't I do that?
Oh,
like,
at,
I don't understand
look
that.
Look at you. Yeah.
Well, he has the same birthday as my dad, so I remember that.
And Alex Patakis.
Okay. Yeah, my son before I actually had a son. Anyway, so the point that I'm making is, if I need to get better at things, which I definitely need to get better at a lot of things, why? So I'm going to wait till tomorrow? I have to, like, you know what? I need to lose some weight. Let me go get 10 pizzas today, but I can't have them tomorrow? That's stupid. You know, I want to be the analyst for Badger football. And they talk to me about it, obviously. And so why am I going to stop my pursuit of that? Why would I have to wait till tomorrow? Why can't I call LePay today and say, get me in? You know, I shouldn't wait till tomorrow.
They've had a three-man booth before.
You two would be like oil and water, man. I can't imagine that working. But maybe I'd be wrong.
Evan, Happy New Year, buddy. And we appreciate you. Good luck tomorrow.
Thank you. See you guys.
Big TV guy now, huh? Wow.
Yeah,
I'm proud of him.
We joke about my relationship with Evan. I'm fascinated by yours. It is a fascinating connectivity that you and he have together. We now are well into the 10 o'clock hour. Mr. Clock Watcher down
there. I
got a
resolution for you.
In the lower right-hand corner of his video screen. Well,
you all shut my mic off midstream, so that's not
Never seen anything quite like that, and probably could use it more often. More Wildy and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
This is Wildy and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
Cohen. Be sure to watch him tomorrow on First Take.
What? Boy, he got that in about five times, didn't he? He made sure to drop that on us.
I would just say this. If ESPN called and said, hey, we got no one else to do it, we need you, Wildy, to step into that spot. I would probably promote it too, so I don't have a problem with him talking about that.
Wait a second. A show you can't stand, you would go on and do?
Yeah, I mean, it's probably a bad example, right? Like, I would be better on, like, Around the Horn or PTI, maybe, because those shows I at least feel better about. But yeah, you're right. I would not want to be the host of it, but who am I to turn down that opportunity? Just like who, well, he's a bigger deal. But my point is that I have no problem with him telling us about it multiple times, because that's kind of cool that he's getting to do it.
I think one or two times would be fine, but I think he went four or five, which seems like a lot.
Like as many times as you tell us about how much you love Coors Light, which is okay, though.
Oh, I do. It's New Year's. You know, there'll be some Coors Light being had by Old T. Coors Light brewed with that three-step cold process, cold lager, cold filtered, and it's cold packaged, so it's made to chill. And those mountains, make sure the mountains are blue. That's when you know it is chilled to perfection. That's why it is always Coors Light in my hand, New Year's or not. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
The 10 o'clock hour starts in 2 minutes. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.